The objective of this press conference is to tackle the serious developments and the serious situation that you have been witnessing in Lebanon recently. At the outset, and following the decisions of the government on that bleak evening, we embarked on a new era, totally new era in Lebanon. The date of that cabinet meeting is similar to the 14th of July 2000 and 14th of February 2005, that is when Prime Minister Rafiq Hariri was martyred. We are now embarking on a totally new era. Lebanon, following that cabinet meeting, that bleak cabinet meeting, is not the same Lebanon that was prevailing before that cabinet meeting. It is up to the ruling coalition to know that they have embarked Lebanon to a new era, given the seriousness of the decisions that were taken and their consequences. I will tackle many titles, many issues. First of all, the network of telecommunications. During our press conference, we will say the truth. We are not here to launch slogans. It is a difficult era. However, this is an era of reasoning, of rational thinking, and responsible acts. So, first of all, the issue of the network of telecommunications. Second, the issue of the airport and Colonel Shukair. And third, the issue of the severe political crisis we are facing and what can be the solutions. First of all, I have a small definition. In Lebanon, people may know what is the issue of the network of telecommunications. Maybe people in Lebanon know what it is about, but maybe abroad people think that this is a kind of commercial telecom network and we are selling the lines and maybe we are making benefits and violating the law. In response to the decisions made by the ruling coalition, we would like to make the following definition. There is something called the weapon of indication, that is a kind of weapon that was used like the doves, the pigeons, any kind of communication during war. With every development of the warfare, the telecommunications were also developed. Telecommunications can be a weapon. Any combating force, be it a regular army, a formal army, or even a militia or an armed group, all of them, they need a kind of network of telecommunication between them. The issue of this kind of telecommunication is the essential tool for any control and for achieving any kind of victory and also for managing any combat. These kind of communications can take many forms. This is a technical issue. There are some wireless telecommunications, mobile telecommunications, or other kinds of ways of communicating, depending on the various technologies. There are also simple ways of communicating, like the wire communications, that is when the voice is still channeled through wires. When it comes to wireless telecommunication, you know that it is easier, it is cheaper, and people can have handheld devices. Everyone now has his own mobile. He can use it wherever he wants, etc. However, when it comes to wire communications, they are less flexible, less flexible. Many problems when it comes to wireless telecommunications, they can easily be tapped. And I can assure you that any kind of wireless telecommunication can be wiretapped. In the world, any kind of code can be uncoded or analyzed. This is something that is proven based on the technological developments. Second, there is the problem also of blurring the communication. The enemy can blur the communication between the command of a certain armed group and between the troops. Third problem, the issue of targeting this kind of telecommunication and the people using it. As you know, it is very easy to target and to bomb the networks and the central telecommunication mobile facilities. And you know that when it comes to wired telecommunication networks, they can be more difficult to target. We, as a resistance, we don't have huge warfare, we don't have the technology that the Americans or the Israelis have. That's why when we need to face such a complicated technology, we resort to very simple means of telecommunication, because we cannot compete with them when it comes to technology. And the best way to face very complicated and very state-of-the-art technology is to use the basic telecom network. And in simple words, we can define it as the...
Hassan Nasrallah suggesting there that the decision by the Lebanese cabinet to outlaw Hezbollah's telecoms network, a decision taken this week, had taken Lebanon to a new era. It is not the same country, he said. The seriousness of the situation shown by what the cabinet has decided. Telecoms can be a weapon. Armed groups need a network. It is an essential tool for any control and managing combat.
This kind of weapon is the most important weapon or arm to be used in any combat. Before 2000, one of the most decisive factors for our victory was this network of telecommunication. The Israelis could not detect when we were to fire on them because we were using the wired network, not the wireless one. During the July war, the most important factor of strength we had was the issue of command and control, because we were able to keep this communication between the command and the combat and the combatants, and the enemy recognized this victory. If you remember what happened following the Kana massacre, when we agreed on a ceasefire for 48 hours in order to take care of the wounded and of the killed. Why were we able to do that? Because we were able to communicate with all our combatants in the field. Unfortunately, my former friend, the Minister of Telecommunication, he said that it is wrong to think that this kind of weapon would save the Hezbollah. I would like to tell them that many of our leaders were martyrs because of a lack of communication. During the July war, in some instances when we were not able to use our wired communication network and we used the wireless one, some of our leaders were targeted. Today, if we were to reread the Vinograd report, one of the most important recommendations of that report was to undermine the capacity of command and control for the Hezbollah. For them, the issue of telecommunication and communication was a decisive factor for our victory. This is a recommendation that was reached by the Vinograd report, and you can refer to the text. Following that definition, let us discuss the negotiations that were taking place between us and the ruling coalition recently. You know that this network of telecommunication was established prior to the year 2000 and continued after the year 2000. It's not a new one. It was updated. It was modernized. This is natural. This is logical. When they had with us this kind of four-party coalition, this network was already there, and at that time they didn't consider it as a violation to the dignity of the country. When we joined the government and when there was the government platform about the resistance, they didn't see in that network any aggression on the rule of law or violation of the rule of law. Now that this four-party coalition is from the past, it is like a dream they would never see again. We will never seal a coalition with them or a partnership with them again. So following the Vinograd recommendations, following David Welsh and his talk about a hot summer in Lebanon, following the calls for internationalizing the crisis in Lebanon, following also the decisions of the government, and following the insulting report by the State Department to the ruling coalition, they have opened this new file. It is to be noted that in the previous months we have been negotiating with them, we have answered all the questions, and we have reached some results. A few months ago, there was a contact between them and us, and the senior security leaders in Lebanon were asked to have contact with us and to negotiate the issue of the network of telecommunications. We answered their concerns, we replied, and they said, okay, if there is no problem, please, there is one cable from the southern suburb of Beirut to the western Beirut. This cable was laid down during the July war, a few days following the shelling on the southern suburb. They said that this cable specifically is creating some concerns. Please take it out. And they told us, should there be any war, we will replace it with another cable. And we told them, it's okay, and we dismantled or removed this cable. A few weeks ago, there was a new era. The whole region is facing a new era. This issue is not only about the network. Some bets on regional and international developments have failed. Some bets on wars have also backed down. That's why there was a need to fight this combat in a different way. In Iraq, in Lebanon, in Palestine, with Syria, with Iran, etc. That's why they reopened the file of the network of telecommunication. We held a meeting with the senior officers. We told them what was the problem, and we welcomed the dialogue because we are truly seeking dialogue and we want to preserve our weapon, our arms. They said that you want to have a cable of telecommunication in Jbeil and Kisrwan, and we told them this is not true. The one who had a press conference and mentioned this issue was lying. We told the officers to tell the ministerial committee and to tell also the government that the Hezbollah clearly says it has no intention to have a cable of wire telecommunication between Jbeil and Kisrwan. We told them we will have this cable of network of telecommunication when we have our command. So they said North Lebanon. We said no, we won't have any cable in Kisrwan, Jbeil, or North Lebanon. So from South Beirut to South Lebanon, we said this is natural to have a cable of telecommunication because we want to have communication between these two areas. And the Shouf area, we said, no, we won't have any cable in a Shouf area. And this is the first time I tackle such details. And they said, that's okay, there is no problem. They also said that this network is an alternative to the official network of telecommunication owned by the state, and this will make us suffer some losses and because people will not use the official network anymore. We told them, no need to worry because our network can in no way replace the official network. Another problem, maybe this network can be used for international calls. We said, no, this is impossible, and despite everything, you know that the state agencies can detect any international calls that are done outside the official network of the state. And we know that this is haram, this would be like stealing our own treasure. So the officers went back to the government and said there was no problem. If you want us to agree to turn a blind eye on this network, can we remove the sit-in from downtown Beirut? Let's reach a kind of compromise. Put an end to the sit-in in downtown Beirut, and we will turn a blind eye on the telecommunication network of the resistance. If we accepted such compromise, at that time, would they think that there was no problem with the telecommunication network? Will they then see it as a legal and legitimate network of telecommunication? This is not a state, this is not a government, this is a mob, this is a gang, this is not even a militia. We told them this is blackmail, this is a shameful thing to ask for. You are asking us to turn a blind eye, or you are turning a blind eye on this issue in order to have some gains or spoils in terms of internal politics. The issue of the sit-in is a national thing. This has to do with the country with facing the Zionist enemy. And the issue of a network of telecommunication, it is up to me. But the issue of the sit-in, this is an issue that is to be discussed by all of the opposition. And this is how the negotiations...
It's going to sum up what Hassan Nasrallah is saying there at a rare press conference in Beirut, all stemming back to a decision by the Lebanese cabinet earlier this week to outlaw Hezbollah's telecommunications network and also to get rid of the head of security at Beirut Airport for, according to the government, being too close to Hezbollah. Now, Hassan Nasrallah is saying he would tackle, first of all, the issue of the telecommunications network, and he's still doing that in some detail. So what we're going to do is we're going to move away from that in just a moment, get some more news, and then return to Beirut. But to sum up his main points, he said the cabinet decision had taken Lebanon to a new era, an era that he equated to the 14th of February 2005, the day that Rafiq Hariri was blown up along with so many others on Beirut's seafront. And he talked about the telecommunications network operated by Hezbollah as being an essential tool in combat, absolutely vital to any armed group, looking at its control and command facilities. And he's berating the Lebanese authorities for suggesting that Hezbollah should no longer have this. The talk is of armed groups, of conflict, of fighting, of control. And Hassan Nasrallah, just to sum up one more time, suggesting that Lebanon has now entered a new era, an era as important in his eyes as that which followed the assassination of Rafiq Hariri more than 3 years ago.
This is the solution for us. I would like to say to the Lebanese people that is aware of the truth, and at the end of my statement, I would like also to address the Arab and Muslim peoples. And everyone is calling upon them recently in Lebanon. And we heard also some calls yesterday that we haven't heard during the 33 days of war, of July war. We haven't seen during that war this empathy with Lebanon, when Israel was displacing more than 1 million Lebanese, destroying more than 100,000 houses, destroying the Lebanese infrastructure, threatening the whole country. We didn't hear that. My call to everyone is the following. If the struggle is about a partnership government or power, we would have limited ourselves to some demonstrations, sit-in, that's all. And I've said many times that we are not competing for a government, for a cabinet, for a portfolio, for a position. No. And all what you are hearing in the Muslim world about a coup, against the state, this is totally baseless. What is happening now in Lebanon is that there is a group that is serving the U.S., affiliated to the AIS, implementing a certain program that America and Israel were not able to implement, that is to disarm the resistance. They have committed themselves to do so since 2005, and they haven't been able to fulfill their promise. I'm not asking for help or support from anyone in the world. Even during the July war, if you remember, all Lebanon was targeted, was shelled, and I said, when I was in the southern suburb of Beirut, I said, we don't want assistance, we don't need help from anyone. If they want to help us, we would like to thank them. Today, what I ask for is understanding us. Do not mislead the public opinion in the Arab and Muslim world. For the simplest things, they used to tell us, whenever you will face them, there will be a strife between the Shias and the Sunnis. Today, we would like to tell you that we are not concerned or worried about any strife between the Sunnis and the Shias. Don't mention this anymore. The battle, the combat today is not between the Sunnis and the Shias, or some Sunnis and some Shias. There is a national plan for resistance and an American plan that are facing each other. It's up to everyone to choose the camp they want, whether they are religious leaders, Christian religious leaders, Muslim religious leaders, or politicians. This is the nature of the combat today in the country. We are not afraid anymore. I was afraid. I was concerned. My brothers know it. And they have been betting on that. When they took this decision, they were betting that Hezbollah will not do anything. Maybe the Hezbollah will issue a statement because they thought that Hezbollah does not seek any sectarian strife. And second, I would like to tell you, if they want to target the weapons of the resistance, be it Sunnis, Muslims, Shiis, Christians, they are not true Christians, Shias, Muslims, if they want to target the resistance. So, second, using our weapons, turning our weapons to the inside. We will not use our weapons for the sake of a coup, changing the struggle, or imposing a statu quo. But our weapons will be used in order to defend our weapons. You have went beyond the red lines. We don't have red lines anymore. We are not worried of any Sunni Shi'i strife for two simple reasons. The Arab and Islamic world knows the nature of the strife in Lebanon. Following the July war, we have been subject to a campaign of smear on the media, TV channels, satellite channels, religious leaders, clerics. They went and visited all the Arab world to tell them that the Hezbollah is pro-Iranian, the Hezbollah is Shiite, Hezbollah is pro-Syrian, etc. But they never mentioned Israel. During 2 years, hundreds of millions of dollars were spent in order to taint our reputation in the Arab and Islamic world, but it wasn't tainted because the reputation of the Hezbollah is crystal clear. No one can taint our reputation. Second, our brothers from the Sunnis who will be used for this campaign, they know very well what is the nature of the relationship with them. They know very well that if we disagree with the Sunnis, are our brothers in religion and the country, and we will face the same fate, same future. And because the Sunnis in Lebanon have great leaders, great families, great parties, great national affiliations and factions, and because there are some sincere religious leaders among the Sunnis, they can say the truth to all the Arab and Islamic worlds. Because of all this, there will be no Shiite-Sunni strife in Lebanon. There will be no strife between between the Sunnis and the Shias in Lebanon, and we went beyond this, and I hope nobody will use it as a threat. Today, our decision is clear. This is how we see the new era that was launched by the government of Walid Jumblatt, David Welsh, and Condoleezza Rice, where there are some employees from other Lebanese sects. This is how we see the situation, and this is our decision. We have two hands, one hand extended to dialogue in order to revoke the decisions and to go for a dialogue as per the request of Speaker Nabih Berri, and our second hand is a hand armed with weapons, weapons that will not target anyone, that will not aim at a coup. And needless to torture yourself. We are convinced in the Hezbollah that if all the Lebanese, all the Muslims, all the Arabs come and say to us that you are a great party, you are a, and we want to give you the government, we will tell them, we apologize, we are not up to this responsibility because it's difficult to save Lebanon. And if we truly want to save Lebanon, we need the partnership of all the factions. We don't seek power, we do not seek any coup, we are not weak, we are not afraid, we are hopeful for the future of Lebanon. But you, your dreams are fading away. You have assassinated your own dreams when you took these bleak decisions 2 nights ago. We do not want to target anyone, we do not seek any coup, we do not want to control the country. They are saying that this is a failed coup. How can they say so? If we truly wanted a coup, you would have woken up in the morning finding your leaders in the jails or thrown at the sea. On the contrary, we have always been saying there is a political problem, political confrontation in Lebanon, and the solutions should be political also. Any way to a solution should be a political one, via a dialogue, referendum, early elections, etc. We have never mentioned weapons. Let me be very clear, and let me say in a conclusion, if we want to get off or this crisis, to get out of this standoff, of this confrontation, they need to revoke the decisions of the illegitimate government, and they need to go to the dialogue. That's all. If they want to be stubborn, they will go elsewhere. The game is very dangerous. If they are truly keen about preserving the country, they have only these two solutions.